Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Playbook time. Open them up. Let's get it going. Patriots, Atlanta Falcons for Sunday Night Football on NBC. Welcome into the playbook for Thursday. I'm John Rook, along with PFW's Eric Scalavino and you. On Thursdays, we pick the Pats, or not pick the Pats, as the PFW guys just kind of did. But that's okay, because frankly, I think we all realize that the Patriots are in for a struggle this week. And they're going up against easily, I think, out of the four games that they would have played at this point in time, the toughest of the four opponents, or the previous three opponents that they would have faced thus far. But, you know, as we do on Thursdays, it's Prediction Thursday, so you need to line up now on the phone, by email, on Twitter, or Facebook with your predictions. Because once again, I'm determined this year. We went an entire 17-week season last year without one soul correctly predicting a score. Now, that may or may not seem like wow to you. I actually thought it was, because we actually have some knowledgeable fans, even though I know we have a lot of homers, but that's what this is all about. We're all Patriots fans, and so I understand the sentiment toward the home team. That's fine. But I can't believe that we can have one person pick the score. Tells me that we had a bunch of unusual scores. And really, this year, we've had some kind of odd scores, too. The Patriots have scored 23 points, which is sort of an odd number, twice out of the three games. And 13 on the other game. So, you know what I'm thinking already for week four now? That there's going to be a three-digit in the second slot for the Patriots this week, somehow, somewhere.
33?
Well, if they score 33, they're going to win. That'll be my prediction. If they score 33, they win.
Yeah, I think.
But
right.
like you guys, unfortunately, I think that I got to stick with my original premise here. When we went down the season schedule at the beginning of the year and called this game the first Patriots loss of the year, I really, based on what we know today,
nothing's
Thursday at 2:12 p.m. Eastern time, nothing's changed.
Not for me either.
And because of that, I'm certainly siding with the Falcons right now. And it's not because I'm, oh, how can you say that? Oh, you're Patriots radio. It's because I'm trying to give you the best down the middle, you know, pitch I can give you. And based on all of the analysis, based on, you know, what I know, you know, the Patriots have, or what we think they might have, and what we know the Falcons might have, or what we think they might have, I just kind of, honestly, I think it's going to all boil down to home field advantage for the most part. And two factors. Number one, Falcons have won 12 of the last 13 in the Georgia Dome. Number two, I believe they've only lost two games all time under Mike Smith as a head coach. After losses.
Wow, that's impressive.
So it means they bounce back after losses. And since they lost to Miami last week and they're home this week for the Patriots, I'd say that's a double strike against New England.
Perfect setup for them.
Yeah, it is a perfect setup. Doesn't mean it's a non-winnable game.
Right, of course not.
I'll give you my prediction toward the end of the first hour, because I don't want, you know, I want everybody to give me their own thoughts on this one. So here's how you get a hold of us. And if you do get the correct score, regardless of which team, I mean, you got to pick the winning team, obviously, because if you're picking 23-13 Patriots and the Falcons win 23-13,
yeah, that doesn't
work that way.
No.
So you get the copy of the Patriots yearbook/media guide, and we're trying to give these away, and nobody's cooperating yet. So if you want your copy, your hardbound copy of the Patriots yearbook, then it's you know, you got to predict the score and you got to participate. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The telephone number, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or let's do it the freeway. Let's do it the toll freeway. We'll pick up the cost. You don't have to. 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. You want to tweet the score? Do it now. @JRBroadcaster is the Twitter handle. And my hope is, my goal is, I get up over 2,000 followers by the time the season is over with.
I hope so.
It's a reasonable goal, I think.
Yeah.
You know? So if you're not following on Twitter, do it. It's that simple. I'm not going to kill you with a lot of, you know, numbskull stuff, but we'll have some fun. So at JR Broadcaster, the Twitter handle, and then John Rook on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the spelling of the last name. Okay? So coming up on the program, in addition to Russell Baxter, pro football guru, in the second hour of the show, in 15 minutes, Jim Murray from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, host a talk show in Atlanta. He's going to join us to talk a little bit more about the Falcons. And I'm getting the impression that as I kind of consider Atlanta, that this is a game for them that clearly means more at this early stage of the season for a couple of reasons. And we kind of danced around about this a little yesterday and even on Tuesday for a bit. But fact of the matter is that the Falcons are 1-2 going in. They're already two games behind the New Orleans Saints after 3 weeks. New Orleans is at home against Miami this week on Monday night. So there's at least a reasonable chance for New Orleans to go 4-0. And unless you want to be, you know, buried not 6 feet under, but 3 feet under, you know, after the first 4 weeks of the season, this is a huge game from the Falcons' perspective. Agree? Disagree?
I agree to a certain extent, but I don't think it's disaster for the Falcons if they lose and the Saints win. I really don't. I think there's enough time left in the season for a lot of things to change record-wise, and I'm not as pessimistic about the Falcons long term if they lose this game.
Okay, so
because I because
I think whatever it is recoverable for them.
Yeah, I do, and I really think that game against the Saints that opened the season that they lost, that's a tough division game. That's a toss up. I mean, that's like Miami and New England. You know, that's always a toss-up game. The Jets and New England, that's always a kind of a toss-up game no matter what. Same thing with the division opponents. I give that – that's a wash to me. I think they can make that up. And even if Saints go 4-0 and the Falcons go 1-3, a lot of football left to be played, John. Way too much football left to be played.
Yeah, but you also, when you're that far down, that early, number one, you kind of set a tempo and a trend for yourself. And I realize that teams can bounce out of that. It's not impossible. But if you're going to come back when you get yourself that big of a hole, go ahead and yawn. It's okay if you want
to. No,
you're stifling yawns here, and I know I'm boring the, you know. No. You know what out of you.
No, it's not you. It was the locker room today.
Oh, it was that bad, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. I'll let you expand on that in a moment. Fact of the matter is that you have to have cooperation from the other guys who are ahead of you. And if they've got it kind of rolling momentum-wise and you're sputtering to start, I think that just makes it a little bit more difficult to overcome. You need help, in other words. You can't do it on your own. You don't control your own destiny. And I just don't like it. And nobody likes it if they can't at least control some of their own destiny. You could say if you're 1-4 and the Saints are 4-0, you could say, all right, well, let's just win them out from here on out. But you don't realize that winning 11 straight games is damn near impossible to do it. And even if you do, you're going to have some help from the Saints. They got to lose.
True. But I don't see the Saints going 16-0 either. So they'll have their speed
bumps.
But
how many do they lose? And if they lose three or four,
well, like I said,
you beat them one time, they're still going to whip you on a tiebreaker.
I don't think they're as great as their 3-0 would have you think. And even if they go 4-0, I don't think they're as great as that record might make them
seem. I would actually agree with you there. And I think we can all certainly surmise here that the Falcons are pretty solid.
Yeah, they're not as bad as
1-2. They're not as bad as 1-2 would indicate,
right,
which we kind of know a little bit around here. Patriots may or may not be as good as 3-0 would indicate.
Right.
But then again, if the Patriots are 0-3, they certainly wouldn't be as bad as 0-3 would indicate. Mm-hmm. I think we know where the truth lies. It's always somewhere in the middle. And so that's also the case for Atlanta. We'll jump into this a little bit more specifically with Jim Murray in a little bit, but you know, it looks like Atlanta is susceptible on defense. They've had some injuries. We talked about this yesterday with John Manasso of Fox Sports South, who covers the Falcons. And you know, yes, the fact that they've lost Croy Bierman and Sean Witherspoon, I think, is significant. I also think the other significant factor here is that along the defensive front and offensive front, their line play is susceptible. And by that, I mean it's just inconsistent. If poor. And because of that, you know, they've got some playmakers on offense that kind of, I think maybe, I don't know, cover up for some of their misdeeds on the offensive line. Defensively, this is allowing teams to sort of attack them in the middle. I fully expect the Patriots to attack them in the middle with a short-range passing game. If Gronk is healthy, he's going to get targeted a few times early. I think it could be a big day for Stephen Ridley, because I think they'll try to attack Atlanta right up the gut, hold on to the ball, and keep Matty Ice from trying to make plays to Julio Jones.
Yeah, I wonder, though, if it'll be just one running back, because it doesn't look like they're very confident in just having one guy, mm-hmm. and Ridley being that one guy. I think they like having that fresh legs rotation that we saw in the last game.
And frankly, it's hard to argue against that. Brandon Bolden had a good game. He had 100 yards of all-purpose offense. 51 rushing, 49 receiving. So, you know, he had a good day. We saw, you know, some pretty decent runs from LeGarrette Blount, although you can time his turn around the corner on a sweep with a freaking sundial.
That's not what he's made for. Yeah.
So anytime they run a sweep, a toss sweep, or they're trying to go around tackle, I'm screaming at Josh McDaniels. What the hell is that play call? That's not where he excels. What are you trying to do? Running between the tackles, hit him on the quick hitter, something, anything. You know, I don't know. Pull the guard if you want to, but around the tackle, really? It takes him forever to get up ahead of steam. Yes? No?
Yeah. No. That's not what he's built for, though.
Well, right. Know? So why are they running those plays?
Well, I think they kind of wanted, because it was Tampa, his former team, I think there was sort of...
They wanted to give him a chance to pound heads with somebody?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I think that was a big part of it.
All right. Fair enough.
Run out the clock.
I can buy that.
You know?
I can buy that.
It was second half.
We're gonna run sideways for a few yards and make them pursue you.
And the clock. They were milking the clock. And they wanted them to run slowly.
Just don't go out of bounds.
Yeah.
Right.
And it worked. That was a really fast-moving game.
Well, that drive that they had to kill the clock in the fourth quarter that ended up about 4.5 minutes, that's their four-minute offense that we know they go into when they have a lead.
Yep, worked perfectly.
And it worked beautifully. It didn't kill the clock, but it killed enough of the clock. It killed enough of the clock to where when Tampa got the ball over on downs deep in there in the field, they couldn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in effect, was a clock-killing drive.
Yeah.
Hugely. And that's great that you have that. You have a running game now that can help you kill the clock when you get into a situation and you need it.
Yeah.
So that's good that they know how to protect a lead and preserve a lead.
I would be stunned if they were running sweeps with Blount in the first, second quarter.
Well, that would, then I think you have a right to pull your hair out.
Yeah.
You know, and say, what the heck are we doing here? But then again, I don't know that we even see LeGarrette Blount early in the game.
I think you do. I mean, like I said, they split the reps pretty evenly in that last game.
They were.
And from the get-go.
They were.
Ridley didn't start. It was
right.
Bolden.
Bolden started.
And Blount got in there in the first quarter. Ridley got in there. I mean, again, they didn't have that many possessions because the clock was ticking and they were staying in bounds. And, it was a fast-moving game. But they all got their chances. And I think that'll still be the case this week. I think they'll all get their chances. This has been a team, when there isn't one true guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is Stephen Ridley's no Corey Dillon. Corey Dillon was the one guy here when he was here. Unless they almost prefer to have more than one, it seems like.
Well, then I think we'll see these guys rotate in, because I do think that they're going to try to run the ball up the middle on the Falcons. All right, let's see what some of our listeners have to say. We'll lead it off with Sean in Vancouver. Sean, thanks for calling in. You're in the playbook.
Hey, John and Eric, thanks for having me on here.
You betcha, Sean.
I don't want to come across as a homer, a biased homer, so I'm going to give an analysis of my prediction, but it is going against everyone on PFW and you guys. I'm saying the Patriots are going to win this one 31-21. And here are some of the things I have to say. Atlanta is hurting. Steven Jackson's not going to play. Roddy White has been playing, but not really playing. He's been out there, but he's not healthy. He was a decoy. He admitted it in the first game, and I think he's been pretty much like that pedestrian the last couple of games. Now, Julio Jones is for real, and he's awesome, and that's the one thing the Patriots are going to focus on taking away. They always focus on taking away a team's top weapon, so we're probably going to see Tlaib with some help covering Julio. And in terms of what the Patriots do, I really believe that this is the week Gronk plays. I was watching online Belichick's breakdown, and of the previous game, the Tampa game. And he was showing how in practice translated over into the real game. And he's showing how Talib was covering in practice. And the person who was the player who was sort of focusing on what Vincent Jackson might do was Gronkowski. So
yeah.
It looked like even last week Gronkowski is practicing at full speed to help them out. So he was probably pretty close last week, so I imagine that he's going to be out there. And like you said, the middle is going to be pretty open with the Falcons' injuries in up in the middle of their defense. So the Patriots are going to take advantage of that. And the last week when I called in, my thing was I expected Dobson and to a lesser extent Tompkins to be much better than they were the week before, to correct some of those correctable mistakes. And and we saw that happen. We saw in the second quarter and the third quarter, really when they got the run going, the rhythm was really good. They could have scored more points if they wanted to, but they were running out the clock at the end.
That's true.
It also looks like Bolden has taken over for the Vereen role for now. He's the maybe the third down back, catching some passes as well as running. And I think they're diverse enough to actually put up a lot of points, and the Falcons just aren't playing well enough defensively to stop them. So I see it as a good game, and I see it as a last drive to sew it up. Patriots with a 3-point lead, and then they have a touchdown at the end to win by 10.
Okay. You know, Sean, pretty sound thoughts. I can't really argue with a lot of what you're saying, other than I ultimately, you know, don't think the Patriots are really going to have enough to get over the hump, but your thought process here is pretty sound. What do you think, E?
It's a little sanguine for my liking. But
he always has to drop in these words, Sean.
You know, I think we
need to spank him every now and then.
No.
You know, you got to just believe in yourself, Eric, that you're smart and trust that. You don't.
The way you believe in this team.
Yeah.
I see.
Good.
Okay.
Nice.
You'll believe in him soon as well.
Right. Nice.
No, yeah, he make you make some good points, Sean. I don't have the confidence in them that you do.
Okay. That's fine.
All right, Sean. 31-21. You're in the books for it. Let's go to Steve in Killeen, Texas. Hey, Steve, you're in the playbook.
Hey, fellas. I'm going to go with 24-31 and somewhat echo what Sean said, but with another caveat to build on.
Who has the 24 and who has the 31?
Patriots.
Oh, so 31. You have Patriots 31-24.
24.
Yeah, okay.
Just given what the current average is for the Falcons and a couple of factors that I think will happen.
All right.
One, if Gronk comes back, if we look at our red zone efficiency, we've left at least 2 touchdowns and a field goal roughly every game previously.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to be much more efficient this game, and we're not going to see those types of things happening, especially if Gronk is in those red zone situations. Those become touchdowns. So if you figure 2 additional touchdowns and the progression from week to week, along with the running back by committee, so we have fresh legs, you take away the factor of weather. So the speed of the game will favor the pass. That's what we do. We play up tempo.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of where I'm at right now. I think the speed of the game will be dictated, and you know, Talib will get help over the top, and we'll control Jones that way. It's not saying that we aren't going to give enough yards. That whole bend and don't break, I think, will come into play, and we'll break that 30-point mark and you know, move forward.
Yeah, I don't really see this defense as being a bend-but-don't-break defense either. I think this defense is good enough to be able to make plays when they need to make plays. I think that the matchups that they have here are obviously not favorable. Of course, they're not favorable for a lot of teams in the NFL because they don't have receivers like, you know, Jones and White. Now, Roddy White missed some practice yesterday. He was limited participation, I believe. And I know he's still suffering from a high ankle sprain that he suffered in the preseason. We talked about this yesterday. And, you know, I guess his status is questionable at best, although I kind of expect him to be out there on Sunday. And, you know, the Patriots are planning on him being there, but you don't know what his effectiveness is really going to be. So that being said, I think just because they have those receivers, the Patriots are going to need to hit on all of their cylinders on offense in order to, you know, and we joked about this yesterday, but literally outscore the opposition. And I think that's what will probably have to happen.
Roddy White didn't practice yesterday.
Did not?
Did not at all.
Oh, I thought it was limited.
With
okay.
an ankle. No, he did not. Julio Jones was limited.
Ah, that's
with
right.
With a knee injury.
That's right. Julio Jones, I saw that. All right, so I got him mixed up. So it was Jones who was limited, but Roddy White did not play at all.
No.
Yesterday.
No.
Well, see, now that's not good. I realize that, you know, they'll probably be ready for game day, but that's still not good, which means that they're struggling with something somewhere. And so you fully expect, I think now, to see Aqib Talib on Julio Jones, and that the Patriots may not require that extra help over the top against Roddy White if you have to kind of pick your poison. All right, so you said 31-24, Steve, right?
Correct.
All right. It's in the books, baby. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, folks.
All right, talk to you soon. Let's get to Ivan in Fort Lauderdale. Ivan, you're in the playbook. Ivan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead. You're on the air.
I think this week, talking to them about the Patriot defense, about any school they show, well, I think this is the game they do it.
Okay. So what do you think how's the game going to end up?
I'm going that the defense is going to have a dominant performance. So I'm saying 31-10
Patriots. 31-10
Patriots.
That would be a dominant defensive performance against a team
that's going for.
All right.
I believe the talk all weekend, I think the defense, they hear the noise, everybody's saying how they need to show up. And just one for he even said that he still is a defensive team now.
Yeah.
And I believe they're going to have a good game. I believe they're going to turn it over, three and out, and I think we're going to win this.
All right. So, you know, you sound like you're a believer and you're a buyer in what you've seen defensively thus far.
I'm a buyer in just having the same defense that they did. I mean, these guys look like they're comfortable with each other. They trust each other. And it seems like everybody really doing their job.
Okay. All right. All right. Ivan is in for 31-10 for the Patriots. How about Kevin in Munich? Kevin, welcome into the playbook once again.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, Kevin. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Good.
Been a long day at work, but now I got some free time.
Nice. Nice. So spend it with us. That's great.
What time do we got over there in Munich?
Let me check. It's
8:30?
20:30.
8:30. Okay. So,
yep. In front of you. So
yep. 8:30. Got it.
8:30. Okay. Yeah. So my prediction for the game on Sunday is 27-24 for the Patriots.
Okay, got the Pats.
And I think the defense is going to make the last stop. They're going to stop the last drive of the Falcons with a turnover.
Okay, so it's going to go right down to the end. The Falcons are going to drive. Defense is going to force them to cough it up to win the game.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that, actually. I actually think that if the Patriots are going to win, Kevin, I think it's going to be a scenario just like that.
Yeah, I think that because the offense of Atlanta is still good, but their defense is harmed with some injuries. And I think we can take advantage of that with our offense. And our defense looks good so far, and I hope they continue to do that.
Well, so far, they've been able to give their offense a chance to perform and kept the offense and the entire team really in the game.
And to be the wet blanket here, they've gone against two rookie quarterbacks and one who's a veteran who got benched.
Yeah, that's also true.
Yeah.
They're going against a really good quarterback.
Thank you, wet blanket.
Sorry, just pointing out the facts. That's all.
That's good.
Before you get too out of control.
Get too caught away. Yes, yeah. I know.
Last year we made Mark Sanchez look like a good quarterback in the first game in Foxborough. So
mm-hmm.
Also, we have last year. Defense was not that good, so I hope they're now on the level we need them to be this year.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
All right, Kevin. So we assume then you'll be watching from how close to the Rhine are you anyway?
Not to the Rhine, to the Isar.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not up on my German geography then.
No problem.
All right. So you've got 27-24.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'm sure we'll discuss that next week. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. All right, Bill in Connecticut. Hang on 2 seconds because I want to welcome into the program Jim Murray, who follows the Falcons as well as everything else Atlanta on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. His show is Overtime with Jim Murray, and he joins us here inside the Patriots Playbook. Jim, it's John and Eric. How's it going today?
Very well. And, John, at the risk of sounding like too much of a homer, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I've been a fan of your work for years. We've never met, but when I hear other public address announcers, I've always thought you were the best, and if I were to ever luck into a job like that, you'd be the guy I emulate.
Oh, that's extremely kind of you to say that. If you can see me, I'm blushing, and your check's in the mail.
Wonderful.
Appreciate that. Let me start it off by saying, I'm really kind of confused a little about the Atlanta Falcons. I know that some injuries have kept them from perhaps performing at peak level over the first 3 weeks, but darn if they don't seem like they have all the ingredients to be the kind of team that everybody thought that they might be before this season is completed. That is a Super Bowl contender. What, other than injuries, has kept them from realizing some of that potential early?
There's been a lot of lack of execution in the red area. This last game that they just had against Miami, they made 5 trips into the red zone. They only came out of there with a couple of touchdowns. There's a lot of people already calling for the head of Mike Smith. They feel like he's not the guy because they can't get over the hump. They finally won a playoff game last year, and that they feel like he tightens up a little too much when they're in the red zone or in short yardage situations. And that seems to be one of the issues. They're real thin defensively, and even if injuries weren't a factor, they have a lot of young guys on that defense that are going to be taking their lumps. So they have a tendency to fall apart in the second half. I think it's now going back to the postseason. It's 5 straight games that they've been outscored in the second half, and a few of them they've won. The game against Seattle last year, and this game in Week 2 against St. Louis. So they have a tendency to fall apart in the second half and not be able to come away with touchdowns in the red area.
Well, you kind of lead me into what I was going to talk about next, simply because, Jim, you know, Atlanta's hot start out of the gate has been tremendous. I think, haven't they held opponents just about scoreless in the first quarter, in the first 3 weeks?
Yeah. So I don't know what the differential is, but, yeah, in the first half, they look like world beaters.
Yeah, it's like, I think in the first quarter it's like 30-0, or 31-0, or something like that in the first quarter. So my thought process was, well, if the Patriots can somehow on the road withstand that first quarter onslaught, then the way that things have played out seems to favor whoever Atlanta is playing, because you're right, the Falcons are having trouble sustaining. Now, are they having trouble sustaining because of the personnel issues they're having due to injury, that they're thinner, or are they having, you know, issues because the play calling is a little askew? Have you been able to put your finger on any one or two things that might be contributing here?
Yeah, I'm always a big proponent that it comes down to personnel more than anything else. I think sometimes coaching gets overrated in the NFL. That might not be a popular opinion, but this team specifically, at cornerback, they have a rookie in Desmond Trufant, who for the first couple of weeks was great. I mean, we weren't hearing his name, and when you're not hearing a cornerback's name, it usually means he's doing his job. But he took some lumps in the second half against Miami. They're getting gouged in the middle of the field, which if Rob Gronkowski's back at the Patriots, is going to be huge because, again, going back to even the postseason, last year, they have this tendency to give up big chunks of yardage to the really good tight ends in the league, like Zach Miller in Seattle, the guy in San Francisco. Well, why am I having a brain fart here?
I know. Yeah. It's all right. Go ahead.
And Jimmy Graham for the New Orleans Saints in Week 1 really ripped him up. And last week, Charles Clay for Miami, he only ended up with about 40 yards. But in the last drive, Ryan Tannehill hit him for a 21-yard completion to get that final touchdown, to set up the final touchdown. So the thing is, like, they're just really, really thin. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all about personnel with this team. And you can only blame injuries so much. They have guys that are just another guys, and a lot of young guys too.
What about at wide receiver? How concerned should we be with the statuses of both Jones and White going into this
Jones
game?
Julio Jones has had this knee thing and it's almost like the Tom Brady shoulder thing that he's always on the injury report. So Julio Jones is going to be there. He's a monster. Anyone that sees him knows what he can do.
Okay.
That should be a concern. I'm sure they'll have a keep the lead on him. But Roddy White has been virtually non-existent in this offense through the first 3 games. 7 catches, 56 yards. He's had a high ankle sprain since the second preseason game against Baltimore. He looks like a shell of himself. So I've been yelling on my show that he should have at least sat out a week. I mean, that's one of those nagging injuries. So I don't think he's going to be that big of a concern. I really don't. And Harry Douglas, who's their third wideout, is, you know, this is just another guy. And Tony Gonzalez, too, at tight end, has looked old for the first 3 weeks.
Well, is there anybody on the offense who is going to get an opportunity to step up that you think might be a surprise contributor?
Well, these uh, first couple of weeks, Jason Snelling, who they've had at running back since Steven Jackson's been out with a thigh injury or a hamstring injury. Snelling's looked great. Looks great against Miami last week too. So I'm sure the Patriots see a lot of him at running back on Sunday night. They kind of mix him up with this other little scat back guy, DeQuiz Rogers. So there are a couple of guys that I think that Bill Belichick will have the scheme for. But as far as other wideouts, I mean, I don't think Harry Douglas is all that much of a threat. I think it's just going to be, trying to make sure that there's not a lot of big plays to Julio Jones from Matt Ryan.
Jim Murray, who covers the Falcons on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. His show is Overtime with Jim Murray. You can follow him on Twitter, in fact, at The OT Show, if you like. Defensively, we know that, there have been some significant injuries. A couple of guys, key players, out for the year with injury. But what are the bright spots on this defensive side of the ball? Are there any at this stage?
Certainly. There are a couple of the rookies that have impressed. Desmond Trufant and their second-round pick, Robert Alford. There are a couple of cornerbacks. They've played well the first couple of weeks. I mentioned Trufant kind of struggled as the Miami game went on, and their experience kind of showed. But, I don't want to say that Trufant right now is a lockdown corner, but they're not really getting deep at all. And even in the first game against New Orleans, Drew Brees, who certainly is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, wasn't even looking his way. They both look good. Alford, they're mostly using in nickel kind of situations, but they've looked good. And O.C. Mignon, who they picked up in the offseason, has finally started to come alive here these last couple of weeks. Week one didn't really do much, but he's had a couple of sacks, had a interception return for a touchdown, so he looks like he's paying off. But those are the three standouts right now for me on the defensive side of the ball.
I know that Mike Nolan, the defensive coordinator, obviously has a relationship with Josh McDaniels because he was Josh's D coordinator when the two were at Denver. So is this advantage Atlanta or is this advantage New England in knowing what the other guy's going to do?
That's a good question. I think because of how many holes there are here defensively, and they have guys that look like a mess. One of the safeties, I've been bashing him on a nightly basis on my show. His name's Thomas Dekou. It's like, I'd like to know what he got in geometry class because the guy just takes the worst angles I've ever seen. So I would actually give the advantage to the Patriots here. The thing is, guys, and for all the guff that Mike Smith takes here in this city, and they feel like he's just not the right guy because, he's only won one playoff game in five seasons here. He's 21-3 since he's been here as head coach. With the Falcons after losses. And I'm surprised it doesn't get talked about enough, nationally, how what Bill Belichick's record is with the Patriots after a loss. The same with Andy Reid when he was with Philadelphia. 21-3 after a loss, with Mike Smith here. And they're very difficult to beat at home. So the Patriots are going to be in for a tough game here, no matter how many holes are on defense for this team.
Asante Samuel. We are a little familiar with him up in these parts.
A little.
Is he, do you think, the same or close to the same player that he was when he was here and winning Super Bowls?
When he's not hurt, he's barely been on the field this year. He finally got in against Miami last week and had a good game, but the first two weeks he barely played because of an ankle or a knee injury. I mean, like any team, I mean, they're like North Korea. You barely get any information coming out when it comes to injuries. But
yeah, we know about that.
Yeah, right. He's looked a little older, but, he's still, at least as far as when I was around him at training camp, I mean, he's still the same as Asante Samuel and keeping the room lively.
He's not on the injury report this week either. At least he wasn't yesterday.
No, the last I checked, the only guys that were Roddy White. Like I said, I talked about his ankle injury.
Right.
Sam Baker, who's their normal left tackle. Steven
right.
Jackson won't play, and and that's it.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I know that a 1-2 start is not what anybody in Atlanta expected of this team because of the expectations we talked about earlier. So in that vein, how important is it really, A, to not fall too far behind New Orleans? They've got a home game against Miami on Monday night. And B, to test yourself against a team that's 3-0 like the Patriots.
Oh, it's huge. People are freaked out here. Do you remember what it was? Last year, after the 1-2 start with the Pats, it's that exact same feeling because the expectations are so high. I don't think anyone here, myself included, expected New Orleans to be 3-0 at this point, and their defense to look that good under Rob Ryan. I mean, I think that they've held their three opponents to 17 points or less at this point. So, people are freaked out. It's a very big game for this team on Sunday night.
All right. Jim, we appreciate the time. It's great to talk with you. Thanks so much for spending a little of the knowledge with us here today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll
Thank
see you,
you
Sunday night.
You betcha. Jim Murray, who, again, works for 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, hosting his talk show there in the evenings, and you can follow him on Twitter, at The OT Game.
It's going to be loud in that stadium for us, too, John, because I do believe it's an open press box.
Well, most dome stadiums do have...
Most domes do, not all, though.
Yeah, but most domes do have open press boxes.
Because now, now the ones with the retractable roofs, I think, usually have a closed one because...
The elements.
In the event that it's an open roof.
Right.
It's loud. If I recall, it was really loud in there for us as well.
Yeah. Well, he shared some good knowledge with us right there. He reaffirmed the number that I thought I'd heard about
Smith.
Yeah, the losses.
Bouncing back from losses.
Yeah, 21-3 under Mike Smith.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You don't hear about that very well.
No, and when you couple that with the fact that they're 12 out of the last 13 games winning at home, you can see how tough a road this is really going to be for New England on Sunday.
It is. It is. I mean, it's certainly not impossible for either team to win.
No, I mean, if Atlanta commits three or four turnovers, I think the Patriots will win the game, frankly. I think when you got two playoff caliber teams, as these two teams clearly are, they're not perfect pieces of work, but then nobody is, three, 4 weeks deep into the season.
No.
But if you're going to do the stupid things that you have to avoid doing to win games against good teams, field position, turnovers, and you can avoid the dumb mistakes, shooting yourself in the foot, like, no penalties either, gang, then you got a chance to win a football game against a pretty good team.
This might be the best game of the weekend.
I'd have to say that NBC picked wisely. I think they chose wisely.
Because some of the matchups this week are putrid.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. You got to play the games, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's Bill in Connecticut. Bill, thanks for hanging in there. You're in the playbook.
No problem, John. Thanks for having me.
Sure, bud.
Great show.
Thank you.
I think this is going to be a really, really good game. However, I think the Patriots give the Atlanta Falcons a rare loss at home. I mean, their offensive line is suspect, so I'm believing that Chandler and Kelly are going to have a great game against that offensive line. And on defense, I think that, like you said, Roddy White is banged up. He's going to be ineffective. And I think they continue their ineptness in the red zone, which is going to make for a lot of field goals.
Okay.
My prediction is 16-19 Patriots.
Ooh, wow. 19-16. I like it.
Everyone's going with the lower scoring first, too.
Think we try to control the clock because they're weak defensively in the middle by running the ball. Eat the clock all day long. And even if we have some miscues, I think we're both going to move the ball, but I think we're not going to score too many touchdowns. It's going to be a field goal game.
Okay. Field goal game. 19-16. Pats are going to get it done. Now, that would be a really solid defensive performance
against a potentially explosive
offensive team.
Well, their offense is not that explosive. used to be explosive. They're not explosive at the moment.
That's a great point, and I'm glad you brought it up because that was one I was going to expand upon. They do not have Steven Jackson. He's not going to play Sunday night. So without him, potentially with a somewhat wounded Roddy White too, and Julio Jones, I think we can expect is going to be there. Then it's going to be a different team. But this is an opportunity for a guy like, Matt Ryan to prove himself. He is thought to be the same type of a quarterback, maybe in the same stature. And I read a comparison earlier today online about him and Joe Flacco. That, Flacco's big, stands tall in the pocket, rifle arm. Matt Ryan is also these things. But the one thing now that separates the two is that now Flacco has playoff experience and playoff wins and a Super Bowl ring to his credit. The few things that a guy like Matt Ryan's really missing from his resume that puts him in the elite ranks of quarterbacks. Frankly, I concur with that. But Matt Ryan's a guy that can still play as well as anybody.
Yeah, but that offensive line's not going to give him time to get what's left of his receiving core down the field.
That may very well be a case. I think that is a huge key, by the way, Bill. Yeah, I think that's a huge key on Sunday night.
Yeah, huge key. So I hopefully Chandler and Kelly are going to have great games. And Ninkovich. I mean, we're poised. Our defense is looking really, really good against a banged-up offense of Atlanta. So I really like our chances. It's not, I mean, if it was Atlanta of last year, I would be the first one as a big Patriot fan to admit this is going to be a L for us. But I really like our chances in this game Sunday night.
All right. Bill, good stuff. Thanks for hanging in there, and thanks for calling. You bet. So he says 19-16 Patriots.
Yeah. That's going out on a limb with the score. That's an odd score.
It's a little lower than I would expect, too. But, frankly, I guess I can understand that.
Sure.
19-16 is very achievable. You're talking about one team basically kicking four field goals and a touchdown, and the other team three field goals and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that would be a defensive game. Now, frankly, I would be stunned if Atlanta held even the Patriots' offense to four field goals.
I could see it just because of the inconsistency
in the New England offense.
Yeah.
You could see, okay,
yeah.
Based on what I've seen and what I've read and heard about Atlanta's defense, I think that plays in New England's favor. I think that's definitely advantage New England, and hopefully they'll get a chance to exploit that. But I think if the Patriots' offense, considering the shape that Atlanta's defense is in, if they are held to field goals, I don't think that's a good sign. Just don't think it's a good sign at all, overall. Here is our friend Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Same old, same old. What do you say?
Hurts my heart to say it, of course, but I don't think we're going to win this one. I think that we're still trying to find ourselves a little bit. I still have a little bit more confidence. Probably very rarely will I ever say this. And the defense more than the offense, I think we'll go down probably 24-20, and we have a kind of late touchdown to kind of make it closer. But I don't know. I'm just, even though they're just a little bit banged up right now, I just think that, you know, they desperately need that win. And since we've kind of put ourselves to be 3-0, even though I know we want this win as well, I just don't think that, you know, we'll be able to handle them down there with that and that crowd and that atmosphere and them desperately needing that win. And the matchup that I'm really very concerned with is, you know, even though he's had a slow year with Gonzalez, I don't know what safety or linebacker is going to be operating him, but he's scared down there in that red zone. And, you know, I don't want him to get in there and start forcing Gronk the ball a lot and then bank him up for the rest of the year. So that's a no-no, too. So,
well, assuming Gronk is in there.
Yeah, assuming that he does play. So I think that'll be the matchup. But I think that'll be the difference with them. I think they'll be able to get towards midfield, and with Subban being so kind of irrelevant here recently, and Gronk still coming back, probably stats for us. They're just going to have more options than we will in this game. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we stuck one out because they're banged up. But I'd say chance of winning by 45%. I'm not too confident in this one, but just more than I originally thought towards the beginning of the year, which I thought we had about a 30% chance of winning this game.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, you know.
24-20, you say,
I think,
huh?
There's a chance.
24-20 Atlanta, that's your spot?
Yeah.
All right, well,
I'll
give you credit. You're the first fan in the opening hour of the show that has said Atlanta's going to win.
Yeah.
I'm trying to speak with my heart on this one, but I kind of stuck with
Atlanta. Went with your head. Went with your head, not your heart.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, with head, not my heart. But, yeah, man, I just think this would be the tough one for us to win. I think Atlanta's still and they're desperate and they're hungry, and they know what's going on. We're just still, and I feel better, but I still think we're just trying to find ourselves a little bit. So,
well, it's still
my opinion.
Sure, and it's still early enough in the season where, you know, a loss won't do you any harm. You just hope that it doesn't, you know, lead into other things when you consider you have two more pretty tough games in back-to-back weeks coming up after this one. So I think that's the thing that really probably concerns a lot of fans more than just the single game at Atlanta. Fact is that, you know, you want to try to get one of these next three. And I think most people probably realize that, hey, if you could get out of this three-game gauntlet with at least one win, two would be fabulous, but you got to get one somewhere. I feel like some probably feel like this is as good a chance as any. A lot of people probably are writing off the game at Cincinnati the same way as, you know, they feel like, you know, hey, this is a great chance for us to get a road win here, and then they're probably going to put all the eggs in the basket on the home game against New Orleans, and I frankly think that might be a mistake. You might have a 6-0 New Orleans team in here.
Mm-hmm.
You might.
5-0 going into that game.
Going into that game?
Yeah.
No, they got two more games to go, don't they?
Yeah, they would be 5-0
going
into
that's
the
right.
game.
Yeah, going into the game. Right. Okay. I missed kind of the weeks. Yeah. All right.
And New Orleans really scares me as far as safety play, because you know Drew Brees loves that vertical route. So that really scared me as far as McCoy and them back there. I think that'll be a real scary matchup. But, you know, I'll be happy with just one out of these three. And I originally thought it was going to be Cincinnati because I didn't think Cincinnati was going to come out looking that good. But Dolphins playing still kind of iffy. But I think if we got a loss here, I think they might find some mojo maybe to beat Cincinnati or they got something to do it at home. But I just originally thought that we couldn't, you know, I didn't think we were going to go down there and beat them. And I just, you know, I'm just not too confident, but I know we can win. We got Brady, got everything. So. This is my opinion, man, but I'll listen to stuff. I'll talk to you later on.
Thanks, Melvin. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the input. All right, so Melvin says Atlanta's going to win at 24-20. Let's get some thoughts here on Facebook.
Yeah.
Matt says, the one thing I worry about in dressing Gronkowski is going against William Moore, Atlanta's safety. Kid is a hard hitter and a big physical safety. I say sit him and bring him back in Cincinnati. That was part of our discussion yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then he says, I've been in the Atlanta press box a lot. It's open. It gets very loud in there since the sound bounces off the back wall. It's a very different experience from the Gillette press box.
Sure is.
Chris says, John, prediction time. I am not real comfortable with the game this weekend. I had thought this one would be a loss before the season began, and leaning that way still, I'm going to go with a score 27-23 Falcons.
Oh, it's two fans.
There's two
going
in a row.
Yeah.
Now, I hope that I am wrong as a true Pats fan. But he says 27-23. Melvin said 24-20.
Yeah.
Right? Michael says, let's see, where are we here? Let me make sure I pick up the right one. I agree with John here on the status of Atlanta. They will need help from other teams if they want their division. They can bounce back from a 1-3 schedule, but they more than likely would be looking at a wild card position. Good choice on the score by Kevin in Munich. Same score I predicted. We will be eagerly hoping for yearbooks. What was his score prediction? Remember Kevin in Munich? I didn't write that.
Yeah, I think he had 27-24.
Was that what it was?
I think.
Michael, what was it? I know Michael's listening.
Yeah, I think that's
what
he had.
I can see him online on Facebook.
I think he had 27-24.
All right. So, yeah, just remind me because that way I'll make sure that you and Mr. Munich are in the books for the same one here. All right, we got some Twitter responses as well. David on Twitter says, I think the Pats will win 27-21. Michael says, Patriots 31, Falcons 20. Two TDs by Gronk. I hope the O-line can protect Brady and get the run going. What do you expect from White? Well, that's an X factor right now. We don't really know.
We don't. And pump the brakes on Gronk, please. I mean, expecting this guy to come back and be the same Rob Gronkowski that dominated the league for the previous 3 years, I mean, let's be realistic here. He's coming back from a serious injuries, plural. And to think he's just going to come out there and just dominate right from the get-go is a little unrealistic, I think.
Oh, yeah. Michael says 27-24. That's what it was. Yes, very good recollection there by you. Poor recollection by me. So 27-24, they say Pats. All right. So Michael says 31-20, Patriots. Eddie on Twitter. At JR Broadcaster says, Pats win 27-23 will be a better game than we'll get over here in the UK. So I'm guessing
they've got the Steelers Vikings.
Is that what it is? Steelers Vikings?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Wish we were in the UK for this game.
Yeah, that's right. Are you going to be at the game, Eddie? I would wonder. Are you big contingent of Pats UK fans, you think, going just to support the NFL in the UK?
I think they do go.
But I would love to hear from any of our UK Patriots if you are going to be at the Steeler-Viking game. I would love to hear from you. Mark says on Twitter, huge Pats fan from Saskatchewan, Canada. Saskatoon. love your show. I think the Pats win 23-21. Just like the Buffalo game, right?
Yeah.
And then Luke on Twitter says, Pats 27, ATL 17. So he's going 27-17. This one comes from Big Pompa on Twitter. Pats win 31-20. Second time we've had that score. Mm-hmm. I think we will see two Gronk spikes as well. Second two Gronk touchdown prediction as well.
Wow.
Chandler Jones with a pair of sacks. Okay, Big Pompa's.
Well, that I could see.
Yeah.
Well, I think regardless of the outcome.
Yeah, because he'll have an opportunity. Because we did talk earlier about how Atlanta's offensive line is wounded.
I like what I've been seeing from him sliding over to right tackle in that three defensive end front four that they have been running this season. I like the, what I've seen out of that. Okay. So that's, I think that that's a possibility.
All right.
Two sacks.
All right. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, our friend Mary Beth. She says Patriots 31, Falcons 30. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Now, let me tell you something,
Mary
Beth.
Barn burner.
Let me tell you something. If NBC gets 31-30.
Yeah, they'll take it.
Whoa, man. Are you kidding me? Because that means that people will still be watching,
yeah,
you know, past the
at
bewitching
midnight.
Hour at midnight on the East Coast, which would be unbelievably astronomical in the TV ratings.
Sure would.
So, you know, we'll Mary Beth gets the call on that one, and we'll continue with more of the scores, you know, predictions. Don't forget, you can keep sending us your email, webradio@patriots.com, if you want to email it in. You know, you said, at the tail end of PFW,
close to Mary Beth's score.
Yeah, you what was you
one touchdown difference. One? I have it Falcons 30, Patriots 24.
So you said 30-24 Falcons.
Yeah.
I'm going to be pretty much like Mary Beth, except I got to go the flip side. Because like I said earlier in the program, based on what I've seen thus far, I haven't really seen anything that's going to cause me to sway my mind from my original prognostication. But I think this is going to be a barn burner, kind of like Mary Beth. I'm going Falcons 24, Patriots 23.
24-23.
24-23. 1 point.
Field goal at the end?
I'm thinking that there's a chance here that it's 24-20 down to the end. Which means Melvin is going to be he's going to be going nuts because he picked 24-20.
Yeah,
and so he's going to be going nuts. But I think that Gostkowski kicks a field goal late,
mm-hmm,
and the Patriots try to onside it to recover it and get it back and win,
uh-huh,
and they don't. That's what I'm thinking.
Wow.
24-23. Notice the use of the three as the second digit
as
well.
Yeah, I did.
Because that'll be four straight weeks
with
that the Patriots will have end up with a three.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow, that'd be exciting finish.
It would be. And again, like I said with Mary Beth's prediction, I think NBC will take that, right?
Anything coming down where it's the game is in doubt at the end, I think NBC will take that.
Yeah. 24-23. All right. Like I said, we're going to continue with your predictions. You can hit us up on Facebook. You can hit us at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. You can call us on the phone at 855-PATS-500, or you can email us webradio@patriots.com. I know I got several predictions on the email account, and we'll get to those coming up in the second hour of the show. But before we get there, we do have business that we like to take care of.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I'm so happy, John, because I've done it again. I stumped the teacher.
This is going to be a rivalry now, you know.
Yeah,
that, right?
It really is.
Robin's going to have to be a part of this program, and you guys are just going to have to play, you know, stump the other, you know.
I'm starting to get under her skin, I can tell, right?
She was not happy with Nimbus yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just because she didn't know it.
Ooh.
Right?
Oh, I
right?
think, oh, sweetheart, I think the gauntlet's been thrown down.
I love it. No, I'm glad she's so into it.
Okay.
I really am. So... All right, we'll get away from the godlike words.
All right.
We'll move on to...
Fair enough.
Today's word is louche.
Louche.
L-O-U-C-H-E.
Louche.
Louche.
Not louche.
No, no.
Or louche.
Louche.
Like louche.
Not
like louche.
Louche.
Oh, okay, louche.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be describing someone who is like a bad guy that you kind of like. Sordid or disreputable in character, but in a rakish or appealing way.
He's reading that crap right out of the dictionary.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, of course.
Well, that's how I learn my words.
Yeah. Oh,
when I read, when
you
I read
the dictionary.
No, no. When I'm reading, I come to a word I don't know. I look it up in the dictionary.
Okay.
Most people just skip over it or try to get the context.
So someone,
I look it up.
Someone who is a louche.
Yeah, someone
could also be considered a lout.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but do you like louts? Do you kind of like?
Generally speaking,
like
no.
In the R-rated movie, the guy that you kind of.
Yeah.
You know, he's a bad guy, but you kind of think he's kind of cool.
Bad
that would
guy.
Be a louche, an
okay.
example of a louche.
A bad guy who's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to think of a good example from a movie. Like, think of a bad guy character that...
A louche as compared to a douche.
Well,
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, sometimes I make myself laugh.
You make yourself laugh a lot on this word of the day segment lately.
I'm really addled. I'm really just addled. That's all. That's about the best way to describe me. You know, just put some pablum in front of me. I'll be fine. Leave it to me to just bring the level of the show right down to the bottom again. Okay. Okay, I like it, though. Loosh. I had not actually heard that one. I'll have to ask Miss Robin if she's, you know, heard that one herself.
Yeah, the way things have been going, I'm going to say no.
Woo! Snap! Oh, my goodness.
She's going to be so mad
she's
at me.
She's not going to be happy
no,
with you.
No, she's not
going to
be
no.
mad. No, she's
yeah,
not.
I have to go home to this.
Right.
It's like, I'm not listening to your show anymore. That
oh,
Eric.
Come on, Robin. No, we
that
love...
Eric. He's not a loosh. He's a douche.
Oh, wow. Oh. No,
she
Robin.
She would not use that word.
No,
by the way.
I don't think she would.
No, she would not.
No, I love the fact that she's so into it. That's why I'm
this is her
I'm
favorite,
needling her.
This is her favorite part of the show.
Get out.
No,
the,
it
her
is.
Most favorite part?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
That's because we talk about her, probably, right?
Well, maybe. But no, she likes it. She's like, I like learning something.
Oh,
she
good.
Goes, not that you've taught me a lot. And I'm like, ooh.
You? Not that you've taught her a lot? Is that what she said?
No, I've taught her about football.
Oh.
But in terms of the words, that's why she was a little upset with Nimbus and some of the others. She says, I'm not sure about that. Okay, well, tell him to stop working with deities, you know? Okay. All right, fine.
So I can't use apotheosis then?
Oh, now you're just getting too smart for your britches. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, I need to go, don't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, I think it's time.
All right.
All right. Hey, have a safe trip to Atlanta.
Thank you. Can't wait. I'm going to a new restaurant. Well, not new. It's... new to me.
Yeah.
Bones Steakhouse.
Okay. I've heard of it.
It's
yes.
in the Buckhead
yes.
area
yes, yes,
of
yes.
Atlanta, north of town.
Heard good things. Yeah.
That's where we're going Saturday night.
Sweet. Well, then we're going to need a restaurant review next week.
Well, you're going to get one.
Okay. Okay.
I've already looked at the menu and.
You've already decided?
Well, dessert looks
I know
good.
You picked desserts first.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
we'll
I'm
about
torn
this.
Between desserts there because they have a couple that look very intriguing.
Any bananas Foster?
No.
Damn.
No.
Damn. Creme brulee?
Yes, they do have creme brulee there. But they have a pecan pie with vanilla ice cream. That,
no!
Yeah.
No,
that,
no,
that's the
no.
front runner right now.
Oh, wow.
That's the front runner.
Yeah, that'd be pretty tough. Southern.
They have something, though, called a pecan. Mountain High Pie that's supposedly their original or their staple thing, which I have to investigate more when I get there to find out
what's
exactly
in
what's
in.
Well, I don't know. Oh, that's don't all it said on there. So I'll have
kinda
to.
Kind of hard to beat Southern pecan pie.
Well, I got to find out what's in this mountain thing, though, because that could be a possibility. Yeah, I can't wait.
Get the hell out of here. Eric Scalavino, at @E_Scal on Twitter. He'll be back next Wednesday here in the Playbook. All right, we got to get the time out in here because then we welcome in the guru, Russell Baxter, inside the Playbook.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located
located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
Hour number two of Patriots Playbook on a Thursday, Prediction Thursday. A lot of them sliding, I guess a little bit surprisingly, to the Patriots, even though they are the 3-0 team and the Atlanta Falcons are the 1-2 team. Although we have had a couple of fans say Falcons, and the PFW staff was unanimous, and I'm including Fred in that because, quite frankly, Fred kind of thought that the Falcons would win this game too. And we'll find a little bit more about, what the, perspective from around the country might also include with a guy like Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, YahooSports.com. He joined us in the playbook. Russell, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you? It sounds like the pressure is on here, huh?
Well, for the Patriots, a little, but for the Falcons, I think more especially, simply because they have stumbled out of the gate a bit 1-2. This was a team that, thought to be a prime contender for the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And, you can understand them, I think, losing the Saints game a little bit early. Maybe last week's game against Miami, not so much just because it was the Dolphins, but maybe then again, the Dolphins are actually a little bit better football team than we're all giving them credit for. And to that end, I actually wanted to start with the very last game of the week and the Monday night game where the Dolphins are playing at the Saints, especially since, the Patriots are, locked in step now with the Dolphins in the AFC East at 3-0. The Saints will be an upcoming opponent in 2 weeks here in Foxborough. This will be a dynamite end, I think, to this weekend of football when you look at, Patriots-Falcons Sunday night, and then you got Dolphins-Saints on Monday.
Oh, there's no question about it. And it's another big week for the AFC versus the NFC.
Yep.
As you may have noticed, AFC 11, NFC 3 in the 14 head-to-head matchups.
Yeah, I've kind of noticed that.
Year, which
yeah.
I think surprises some people.
It surprises me.
This week
yeah.
we have 15 games. Carolina and Green Bay are off. More than half, 8 of them, are AFC versus NFC again, of course, including New England and Atlanta, and the Miami Saints game. Both 3-0. And both getting there from a little different directions, but defense being the common theme, John, as you know. How's this for the Saints? La- last year in their first game of the season, they lost at home to the Washington Redskins 40-32. Mm-hmm. This year, after three games, they've given up just 38 points. So, I mean, that's a big turnaround to begin with. You know, already 2-0 within the division.
Yep.
You know, lights out defense for them. And defense for them in past years has always meant opportunistic defense. It's been a little different so far this year, and got to give credit to Rob Ryan and Sean Payton so far this year. Miami, you have to be impressed with what they've done the last 2 weeks because they've managed to knock off a pair of playoff teams from a year ago, the Colts in Indianapolis, by the way, and then the Falcons, who you alluded to, the NFC's number one seed two of the last 3 years. Still waiting for the running game to get a little untracked, still waiting for the offensive line to get a little untracked, but finding other ways to get things done. And I think that offensive line situation, at least Monday night, could prove to be a little bit of their undoing. As you know, this just in, the Superdome's a kind of a loud place to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think with that Miami offensive line, which has given up its share of sacks, and again, the running game slowly but surely still hasn't kind of gotten untracked, I think it's going to be a tough night. I mean, I think the Dolphins will score some points, but keeping pace with the Saints, especially in that building, is a tall order.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. But I do, you know, as you said, the Dolphins are finding ways to win that, you know, sort of belies what we actually are watching on the field, which tells me, you know, that's the mark in the making of a pretty good football team, because good football teams figure out ways to win. And so if you don't have something, some dominant aspect to your team and you're still managing to win games, that bodes pretty well for you for the long haul.
There's no doubt about it. A great example of that last week, John, was Cincinnati, which turned over the ball four times and yet managed to make a play or two, including a big one at the end, forcing the fumble and knocking off the Packers in Cincinnati. Again, I don't think the Bengals played one of their best games. Their defense got run on a little. Again, they turned over the ball four times, but they managed to pull out a win, and that's usually a good sign for what is usually a good team, and maybe just a team that's maybe destined to do a few pretty good things this year.
All right, fair enough. Then let's go to tonight's game. From last to first, and the 49ers, they don't want to go first to last, but they're kind of headed that way with a 1-2 starter themselves. So, you know, and all of a sudden, Colin Kaepernick, who got anointed potentially as one of the all-time greats by, you know, our good friend Ron Jaws Jaworski, he's kind of struggled out of the gate too, just barely 50% completion passing-wise.
Kind of gone from Colin Kaepernick to Colin for help.
Yeah. Ooh, and, good one. Good one, Russell.
Hey.
Thank you.
You know what? Maybe I'll be a writer someday.
You should be.
So, how's this, John? Just think about this as in the Jim Harbaugh era, the last couple of years. The Niners have lost their last two games, 56-10.
I know. That's unheard of in recent time, but that's certainly heard of, say, 8 to 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, it's funny, when you think of the Niners, you hear 56-10, you think 55-10 in the Super Bowl when they beat Denver.
Yeah.
But San Francisco got out-muscled, for lack of a better word, by a Colts team last week that we've kind of, you know, kind of chalked off to being a little bit more finesse and more all about Andrew Luck. And it's 2 weeks in a row that San Francisco's defense has given up at least 170 yards on the ground. Part of that is because they can't get their offense on track. But go back to the end of last year, this San Francisco defense, which has had problems in the secondary, and now, of course, is going to be without Alden Smith for an indefinite amount of time. You know, they're kind of not living up to their end of the bargain. They might be playing physical football, but they're not necessarily stopping anyone. And tonight, of course, they go against the team that was their bugaboo last year, besides, of course, Baltimore in the Super Bowl. But they played they played the Rams 10 quarters. Every once in a while you play overtime. They played the Rams twice in overtime last year and couldn't beat them. One tie, one loss. Jeff Fisher knows how to get after you with the front four. He doesn't worry about blitzing all that much. He's got that front four with Chris Long and Robert Quinn and Brockers, and he lets the back seven do their thing. And I think that'll be the same strategy as well. And unless Frank Gore and Kendall Hunter and all those guys have a big night, and remember, never underestimate San Francisco's offensive line. It's funny. It just shows you sometimes how we kind of get focused. I've heard all week that this is a must game for San Francisco, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, aren't the Rams 1-2? Wouldn't it be a must game for them too?
Yeah, sure it would be. But I think from a perspective point of view, I can understand why people are saying that.
Oh, no, no, there's no doubt about it. In fact, while I'm at it, I might as well throw this in because you happen to mention the kind of NFC teams. Do you realize of the six NFC teams, John, that went to the playoffs last year?
Mm-hmm.
Seattle Seahawks are the only one with a winning record right now.
That's correct. Which I find
Atlanta.
Yeah, that's extraordinary.
Green Bay, all 1-2. Minnesota and Washington.
0-3.
0-3. By the way, it's not that way in the AFC. All six playoff teams from the AFC a year ago are above 500.
You know, and we all thought that the NFC looked like far and away it was the better conference, you know, from top to bottom. And we talked, Eric Scalavino and I talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show. You know, whereas before the season started, you could look at maybe seven or eight teams legitimately in the NFC
mm-hmm.
that you could put the word Super Bowl contender, the phrase Super Bowl contender beside, and you wouldn't be laughed out of Dodge. Whereas you could probably only come up with about four or five teams like that in the AFC. And then, as you've already pointed out, 11 of 14 of these games have already gone to the AFC thus far this year.
Well, as the old adage says, you don't play games on paper.
Nope.
And actually, the biggest reason for that is when paper gets wet, it's really a mess. So.
Yeah, I believe that's how they break it down. Yes, indeed. All right, let's stay into the. See, we get all kinds of breakdowns from you. We just don't expect them sometimes.
Yes, yes. I'm big on pulp.
Speaking of pulp, we thought the Titans would be pulp before the season started, and yet they're 2-1, divisionally speaking, against the also 2-1 New York Jets. Which one is more pulpous than the other? That was a reach. I know that was a reach.
No, it was fun, and that's what you and I usually have on this show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. So, you got to give credit where credit's due. The Jets have played pretty respectable defense throughout this season.
Yeah.
Although I'm still trying to figure out, have the New York Rangers ever had 20 penalties in a game?
Wow. You know, I can't imagine, although you could certainly see the Rangers or some of the, you know, the original six, you know, black and blue type of clubs with 20 penalties. But if a hockey team had 20 penalties in a game, Russell, I'm not expecting that they would win. Expecting that they would face.
In fact, the last hockey team to have 20 penalties in the game were the Charleston Chiefs.
Yeah, no kidding. And they get blown out regularly, right? Because they got, you know, and plus they probably had a half a dozen or more with 20 penalties. That's certainly going to be more. Power plays run against them, and goals are going to be, you know, successful power plays against them, a half a dozen or more probably. So how the hell did the Jets do that with 20 penalties?
I don't know. And rang up over 500 yards of total offense as well. I mean, just a strange game, but a win. And 2-1, and I'm sure some people are a little surprised by that. You combine the fact that they played the Patriots tough, except for an implosion in the fourth quarter, and maybe just I'll tell you what I noticed with the Jets. Their offensive line is firing off the ball. They've added a little nastiness there with Willie Colon and Steven Peterman at the guards. And you noticed it during the preseason, and I think in some ways it's kind of paying off here so far.
We noticed
now,
that, Russell.
We talk about these. We talk about the Jets and these penalties.
Yeah.
And when, you know, when they paid the Patriots, they actually had two guys ejected.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we noticed them win the battle at the line of scrimmage against the Patriots. I thought that was significant in keeping the score the way it was because we thought the Pats got whipped at the line of scrimmage by the Jets.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's what the Jets have done so far, if they've accomplished anything. Plus, their defense is playing, you know, pretty well. Although, correct me if I'm wrong, was it Sheldon Richardson last week who was celebrating so much that one of the Bills running backs just went running right by him.
I believe that was the case.
Yeah.
I believe that was the case, yeah.
Talk about physical. One of the things that Mike Munchak apparently was determined to do this offseason, he bolstered the inside of his offensive line with Andy Levitre and Rob Turner. They drafted Chance Warmack in the first round to play guard. So he's got a whole new interior. He brought in some more running backs like Ashawn Green to make sure the running game was physical, and they run the ball a lot. Big clutch win last week over San Diego, who plays every game down to the last 10 seconds. You throw in Bernard Pollard. I know Patriot fans know him well, but the league knows him well in terms of physical football. This is going to be a slugfest. This is a little bit of a steel cage match, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets went in there and won, But I also wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee went to 3-1. And I kind of like Tennessee coming in to push the Colts a little. I didn't think they were a playoff team, but I think they might be a 9-7 team.
The other divisional opponent for the Pats, the Bills, they're at home. They get the defending Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens, who come in at 2-1. I can't say that either team is really off schedule by what we thought that they would be at this stage of the game. And so if they are to be on schedule, is this a walkover for the Ravens?
Well, you would think so, but then again, it's not an AFC East opponent, so you know the Bills have more than a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
They can never seem to get out of their way in their own division. You know, after last week, since 2008, the Bills are 6-26 versus the AFC East.
Yeah.
And you wonder why they finished last place in the division 5 years in a row, because they can't beat the teams they have to beat. They didn't build on the momentum of that last second win over Carolina. They had their opportunities with the Jets consistently shooting themselves in the foot, but couldn't get it done. But I think they're going to get it done here. I like their defense. I know they're struggling a little against the run. But the Ravens, up until the playoffs last year, John, as you well know, not exactly the most dependable road team. I think that's why people were so surprised last year that they managed to pull off the Super Bowl win, because they went to Denver and New England to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Up until then, pretty shaky on the road. Now, interesting, they played Denver in opening night in a game they were supposed to be at home, but still gave up 49 points and 7 touchdowns in the loss to Denver. So now they've been home the last 2 weeks. They've given up 15 points and no touchdowns to the Browns and the Texans. But then again, their offense isn't exactly set. They scored 30 points last week. Their offense got one touchdown. I know Ray Rice is banged up, and I understand all that, but I think this is a tricky spot for the Ravens, and I think the Bills beat them.
Wow. You know what? I kind of like the Bills in this one, too. There's a game that, I honestly looked at when I first looked at it a couple of days ago, and I'm thinking, oh, what a dog. And then the more I've looked at it, the more I'm thinking, well, I've got some intrigue here. You got a 3-0 against an 0-3, but it's the exact opposite teams I thought would be there. And it's the New York Giants at the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't believe the Giants lost to go 0-3, but the way they lost last week was shocking. And Kansas City at 3-0, I'm not sure I have any adjectives to describe them other than just to simply say shake my head and go, wow.
Well, it shows you the degree of talent they actually have there. Now, are they going to the Super Bowl? I don't know about that. I mean, in this day and age, who knows? But it does show you. I mean, remember, this is a team with 6 Pro Bowlers a year ago. And, you know, they probably put a new meaning to the word underachieving. I wouldn't have been shocked last year, John, if Kansas City was like a 6-10 or 7-9 team, because things happen. But the fact that they were 2-14 with the degree of talent they have on the team was absolutely stunning. Now, the one thing they did last year, of course, was turn over the football, 37, tied for the most in the league with Philadelphia and the Jets. They have no turnovers this year. Last season, they were tied with the Eagles with the fewest takeaways, 13. Well, they have 9 takeaways this year.
And they had 5 last week against Michael Vick and the Eagles.
Right. And speaking of takeaways or turnovers and 13, that would be the number of turnovers that the New York Giants already have in 3 games.
That's amazing.
And when you combine the fact that they've turned over the ball 13 times with a ground attack that, get this, John, has totaled 133 yards in 3 games, it is a recipe for disaster, no matter how good your Super Bowl 2-time MVP quarterback is.
You know, the thing that really underscores what the difference between winning and losing in the NFL has never been underlined or underscored more than looking at the Chiefs plus minus. They're plus 9 in the turnover differential. Last year, they were the league worst, minus 24. That's a difference of 33 turnovers. Now, I realize they're only 3 games deep, but you can see what turnovers really, really mean to what kind of a football team you have.
Well, that's a great point, because last year there was another team that I believe went from minus 17 for the season to, were they plus 14, I think? Or maybe even better than that. And I might be getting those differentials mixed up, but you saw the Washington Redskins in 2011 have 35 turnovers, and last year they had the fewest in the league with 14.
Right.
So that is, you know, when you look at the stats with differential and turnover and et cetera, et cetera, I can tell you, if you go back and look at the teams last year strictly on turnovers in terms of the fewest, I want to say the top six, seven, or eight all made the playoffs.
There you go.
Not the differential, just the basic fewest turnovers.
Yep. Yeah. Doesn't surprise me in the least. Turnovers kill. No. They just turn over, they just kill. And they're they're the great equalizer for a lot of teams.
I'll give you a great example. You look at somebody like Denver, who we know they've scored a boatload of points.
Yeah,
but
right.
At the end of the game, they want to kill clock.
Right.
And they've got a young running back there named Monty Ball, who is 2 for 2, and 2 for 2 in a bad way. 2 fumbles, 2 lost fumbles. And even though Denver's 3-0, they're going to need somebody like that down the road. You saw it with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis last week. Fumble, the rare fumble that comes from him. That turned into be crucial before the Bengals pulled off their and you had the Bengals fumble last week, the Packers fumble, which was immediately turned into a touchdown. So sometimes we also get caught so up in the interception numbers by the quarterbacks. These fumbles at inopportune times turn out to be the death knell between a win and a loss.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it certainly has been. Especially the Giants right now. Two of the games I wanted to look at. Number one will be next week's Patriot opponent, the Cincinnati Bengals. They're on the road, but they go to Cleveland to take on the Browns. And I think the Browns might have played a little shock the world last week with our old friend Brian Hoyer at quarterback.
And Brian Hoyer is very intriguing. I was surprised the Cardinals did not hang on to them. And that's not an after-effect statement. I mean, they obviously cleaned house with all the quarterbacks that started there last year. Listen, in the opportunities he got to play with the Patriots, you knew there was some talent there. Listen, he also threw 3 picks last week, but he also gave them a presence, getting rid of the football, zeroing in on the tight end, Jordan Cameron, as well as Josh Gordon. I think the thing that was impressive about that last week is many people just under the assumption that after the Browns swung the trade for Trent Richardson, they were turning into the Miami Marlins and cleaning house. And maybe the Minnesota Vikings felt that way too, and suddenly the Vikings find themselves with an offer, and the Browns are at home where, just a reminder, they beat the Bengals last year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, they did. I actually had forgotten that until you just brought it up. The other game is the Denver Broncos. They're at home. They're rolling. They're the juggernaut out of the gate. They have Chip Kelly's Eagles, who certainly look good getting out of the gate. Then they've sputtered the last 2 weeks. Can the Eagles give the Broncos a fight?
Well, I think they could give them a fight. I'm just curious if they could give them a game.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the big difference.
Yeah.
Philadelphia's defense is pretty awful. And they've got their offense, their attack of, that 53 plays for 332 yards in the first half of that win over Washington seems like it was a long time ago now, because we saw the Eagles turnovers return last week in that loss to Kansas City. I don't know. Listen, Peyton Manning, 12 touchdowns, no picks, 127 points. That team has been relentless. And Patriot fans know something about relentless offense and putting out those kind of points so far. Although maybe they're slumping. They've gone from 49 to 41 to 37. So maybe the Eagles can hold them to 35. I can't imagine Philadelphia's defense, unless they get 6 turnovers, and I can't imagine that, slowing down that Denver attack. I just can't see it, because Philadelphia has shown honestly no semblance of defense, and they've piled up a bunch of rushing yards in 2 of their 3 games, but again, they piled up a bunch of penalties last week, and there's not too many defenses that Peyton Manning hasn't seen, but I know one thing, he knows a non-defense when he sees it.
Yeah, there's no question about that. All right, so Patriots Falcons, the Sunday night game, football night in America, yada yada, on NBC. Atlanta, we know they've got the 2 great receivers, although one is less great right now because he's struggling with some injuries. Did not practice at all yesterday, Roddy White, and Julio Jones was even limited. I don't think anybody expects Jones to miss the game on Sunday, but the Falcons might be a little more battered than we've been led to believe. We know that they are missing a couple of key ingredients on the defensive side of the ball, and that the Patriots will probably try to exploit at least the middle of that Atlanta defense. My question is whether or not the Falcons really have the firepower remaining on offense to give what appears to be an improved Patriots defense a run for the money. We're thinking that they do, especially the fact that the Falcons are at home in the Dome.
Yeah, although, I mean, for Tom Brady, it hasn't meant that much. I mean, obviously what he does, he can do just about anywhere. But the thing about Atlanta is, boy, they really present you with a lot of offensive weapons. And it's not just Jones and White, but obviously it's Tony Gonzalez, and obviously it's Harry Douglas as well. But Bill Belichick also knows something a little about slowing down a game. And Atlanta has yet to prove to me that they can play consistent defense. Now, I got to keep on going back to the playoffs last year, but it has been a popular theme for them so far this year. Remember, they blew the 20-0 lead to Seattle in the playoffs last year. They wound up winning the game.
Right.
But a week later, they blew a 17-0 lead to San Francisco and lost the NFC title game at home.
Right.
So what have they done so far this year, John? Blew a 10-0 lead against the Saints and lost. Were up 21 at the half by the Rams and held on by 7. Last week, they blew a 10-0 lead to Miami and lost. So this is becoming a common theme and not the kind of habit you want to get into. And why is that happening? Because this team still, and it was the case last year with Michael Turner, and even the case this year in the opener when Steven Jackson was healthy. Even ahead, this team does not run the football. It seemed like they just want to keep on pressing the envelope, okay, or whatever expression you want to use, and keep on putting pressure. It's almost like they have no confidence in their defense. And, you know, a couple of 8-minute drives against Atlanta, regardless if it's in their building or not, will put a lot of pressure on them. I think Atlanta wins the game because I think, you know, they'll get what they need out of Julio Jones, and they'll spread that Falcons defense out a lot. But I'll tell you, if Atlanta, I'll say this, if Atlanta commits 2 turnovers in the game, just 2, I'm not saying if it's more, it'll be trouble. I'll say if Atlanta commits only 2 turnovers in the game, New England wins this game.
Okay, so 2 turnovers or more by the Falcons is the benchwater mark then?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if they play turnover-free football, I think they'll find a way to do it. Okay? I mean, Atlanta does not, they do not have a pass rush. They're not consistent against the run, and they don't run the football. And they're in danger of going from 13-3 to 1-3 in the blink of an eye here.
Yeah, right. Because a lot of people thought they were capable of being a 13-3 type of team. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and as we know in the NFC South, and again, it's an awfully long way to go. No team has ever repeated in there as division champion. I mean, teams have gone to the playoffs back-to-back. But Atlanta's going to test that theory, aren't they? They've already find themselves 2 games behind after 3 weeks of play.
And might find themselves 3 games behind after 4 weeks if the Patriots' defense, and this is another huge key, the Patriots' defense has to force mistakes. They've got to come up with takeaways.
Well, this is an interesting 3-game stretch of the Pats, and you alluded to that off the top.
Yeah.
They play a pair of playoff teams from a year ago, the first 2 on the road in Atlanta and Cincinnati. And then Drew Brees and company come up to Foxborough. By the way, very coincidental. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Didn't you find it interesting that what was Drew Brees' record for consecutive games with touchdown pass? It was 54, correct?
Correct.
Correct. And Tom Brady came into the season with 48.
Correct.
And right now he's got 51.
Correct.
Okay, so when you get to the Saints game and Brady throws touchdown passes, which we'll assume he will. I'm not saying it's a guarantee.
He has to throw one this week and one next week.
And so he would come into the Saints game with 53.
Correct.
And Drew Brees' record was 54.
Correct.
And just by chance, Drew Brees and the Patriots are playing each other that week.
Don't you just love how the schedule maker sets that up?
You know, I don't even know if you could do that with 17 rolls of the dice and set that up even better. But I will throw this out. Do you remember who ended Drew Brees' streak?
I don't.
Of touchdown passes in a game last year?
I do not remember that.
It was the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, on the Thursday night. No! Wow.
So I'll just throw that out there.
Wow.
Because the one thing we do know, that when Atlanta does play against the pass, they're not bad. I mean, William Moore and Thomas Dekou, I think, are pretty good safeties. They've got some young corners there and so on, and I think they do a hell of a job considering they have no pass rush.
Wow. Wow. That is something that I had not come dawn on me at all this week. As you pour over the teams and you look at the numbers, that number had not crossed my plate just because I had, you know, I mean, we're not even thinking about Drew Brees and the Saints for a couple of more weeks here, but that's really an oddity to end all oddities that, it was Atlanta that ended his streak.
Well, I can assure you this, my friend. It crossed my plate and I ate it.
I would expect nothing less from you, Mr.
No, Mike. Either would I. Anything that crosses my plate is getting eaten.
Is getting eaten. Oh, that's awesome stuff. Russell, great visit with you today. Thanks, as always, my friend, and we'll look forward to visiting again next week.
You got it. It's going to be a fun game Sunday. I mean, this is the kind of game that you think about down the road, and I mean this sincerely. You know, you don't rule out the fact that this could be one of two meetings this year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's kind of, you know, that's actually been on the down low this week, but I mentioned it, I think, on Tuesday that, you know what, it's not for nothing. This is a matchup that could take place much later in the year, and I think both teams would relish that opportunity.
Well, and here's the thing. I know we get caught up in the 1-2 and the 0-3 and different, and with good reason. There's no doubt about that. But you always still got to remember that over the last 3 years, our Super Bowl champions were 10-6, 9-7, and 10-6.
Wow. See? So there you go. So 10-6 might not be a bad number for the Patriots to look for.
Oh, I mean, considering the team with the best record in the league, John, has not won the Super Bowl 9 years in a row.
That's right.
It might behoove you to go 4-12.
Yeah, well, not 4-12, but.
Well, not 4-12.
Okay, I'll take 9-7 or 10-6.
That one crossed my plate, too.
Yeah, I like it. And you ate that one up very well, very quickly, too, I might add. Nice job. All right, Russell, talk to you next Thursday. Thank you.
You got it, John.
All right, enjoy the weekend. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Yahoo Sports. He knows as much about football as any individual that's out there, much about the NFL as any individual I've ever spoken to out there. Our relationship, as many of you probably already know, but I will reiterate here. He and I met when I started working at ESPN in 1999, and he amazed me then, and he continues to amaze me now that he's kind of gone out on his own and does his own thing and has broken away from Mickey Mouse and the auspices of ESPN and to do his own thing. And the man flat out gets it done. You can tell the kind of studying, the bookwork he does, and he always comes up with numbers that never cease to amaze, and he did that again today. All right, so here we go. We've got 20 minutes left in the program before we get off to the football guys coming up. So we still got predictions that we need to get to. If you haven't had your chance to get your prediction in on Prediction Thursday, it's easy to do it. Webradio at patriots.com. Telephone number, toll-free, 855-PATS-500. Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Before we got to Russell, and we had Eric Scalavino in here with his word of the day, Michelle sent this on Facebook. She says, the only books I can think of that would have the word louche, because that was our word of the day today, if you missed it, L-O-U-C-H-E, louche, are romance novels. So what has Eric been reading? That's just not fair, Michelle. That's just not fair. But I would also say that Steven sends this via email. He says, Tony Soprano would be a perfect example of a louche. That's what we're talking about. A bad guy that's kind of cool, or a kind of guy that you maybe want to hang around a little bit or you want to get to know, or, you know, that kind of thing. That would be a louche. And that's actually a pretty good example of a louche. Tony Soprano would be one. All right. So I just wanted to get that out of the way before we pressed onward here. Back to score predictions. On Facebook, John says, so this juggernaut known as Atlanta has yet to hold any time to 21 points. The one time they scored more than 31, OCU Manura scored a touchdown. Tannehill went 24-35 for 236. 28 points wins this game. Stop Julio. Stop the run. They're dead. Might be easier said than done, though, John. Plus, Asante is going to make so many risks to get a pick, he could give up some big plays. And then he says, I admit I'm saying this emotionally. Many things point to the Falcons, but I'm going to go with the Pats. He says, Pats 34-17. Paul on Facebook, Patriots 27, Falcons 23. Primetime classic and an entertaining battle culminating in a thrilling, desperate goal line stand to deny the Falcons the winning touchdown inside the last 2 minutes of the Pats head back up Route 1 happy at 4-0. It's a long way up Route 1. 27-23. I've always wanted to do that. I've always wanted to take Route 1, start in Maine, and go all the way down Route 1 and do a book on it. What do you think of that idea? If I did that, And I did a book on Route 1, kind of like I think they've done a book on Route 66, you know, the highway that goes east to west through all the communities, you know, in the country. What if we did Route 1 in Maine and went all the way down through Atlanta and all the way down through Florida, the very tiptoe, all the way out to Key West, because that's where Route 1 ends? Would that be a hell of a trip? I think you could definitely get a book out of that one. Would you buy it if I wrote the book? Kevin, would you buy it if I wrote the book on Route 1?
I'd buy anything you wrote.
Aww.
I already have your first book, but
yes,
it was free, I'll admit.
Yeah, well, it's because I had to give you a Christmas present. I did. I gave you a Christmas present.
You even signed it for me.
I did. Because you're good at what you do. So there you go. But he says he would buy it, so I think that's cool. Lewis says, pay a prediction. Pats win 28-21. The defense will get a touchdown. Where else here? Nori. I hate to say this prediction, but I got to keep it real. As much as I want the Pats to win, I don't think they will. I don't see Atlanta losing at home, dropping to 1-3. As they'll need to keep pace with New Orleans, it'll be a close game, which will come down to an inside 2-minute touchdown from Atlanta. Pats D will have a tough time with the Atlanta passing attack. Pats offense can put up 24-27, but that's it. He says Falcons 31, Patriots 27. All right, Nori. Thank you for that. Let's see. So that's three or four now, I think, that we've actually had pick the Falcons here. Let's see what else we got. Raymond says, John, do the Route 1 trip. It would be great. Not sold on doing a book on it, though. Well, then what the hell's the point, Raymond? I'm into things for making some money. I don't know about you, but I want to make some money. I want to have fun, too, but I want to make some money. Isn't that what it's all about? Money, 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 money. Money. Okay. Now that I've caused everybody to turn everything off, Rashad says on Twitter, my prediction for Sunday's game is Pats 27, Falcons 20. I think Ninko comes up with a key sack and a fumble. Brady has a couple of touchdowns. By the way, Dan tweets, he says, I will be at Wembley on Sunday as a UK Patriot supporting the NFL wearing my Brady game jersey. Attaboy, Dan. Excellent. We'll be looking for you in the crowd because it's always interesting to watch those games, even though you got a couple of stinkers this year, I think, perhaps. Although I don't think anybody really thought the Steelers would be 0-3, but yeah, they are. Okay. Now let's hit the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Let's start with Steven. Hi, John. I think the Patriots cut it close in this one to make it 32-31. That is a close one. The Golden Boy, Tom Terrific, leads the Patriots down the field with 2 minutes left in the fourth. After the 12-yard TD pass to Tompkins, Brady hits the unpredictable Aaron Dobson for the game winner. 2-point conversion. Wow. Pats win. Love the show and the PFW boys. Good stuff, Steven. All right, so that's good. He says 32-31. By the way, I know that there was big discussion in the program today, PFW in Progress today, about a nickname for Tom Brady, even though I've always referred to him as TB12, which I know he refers to himself as. But if you have to go with a nickname type thing, Tom Terrific, I think, has always been it, to be honest with you. I think the media kind of anointed it on him. But an interesting discussion, nevertheless. Okay, GB and Quincy says, John, I'll call it Pats 35, Falcons 24. Another week of practice gets Brady and the Wookiees a bit more in sync. Kevin's busy. 33-21 Patriots, says Pete. The threes continue. Yes, that's what we were talking about earlier. The threes with the second digit in the Patriots score, 23-13 and 23. He says, the game doesn't play out like a lot of people think it will. New England's defense lets down somewhat. Offense plays above itself. Brady's best game yet. Gronk doesn't play. That's sort of the story within the story here. I mean, yeah, it's the Patriots and the Falcons, but does Rob Gronkowski return? He's practiced. He was questionable yesterday in the initial list. Limited participation, if you will, which is kind of akin to questionable. If I had to venture a guess, I would say my guess is that he plays limited snaps, but I think they might try to bring him back. I would not be surprised if they decide to make him inactive at the last moment. Wouldn't surprise me. But it, again, it's just an educated guess based on, you know, the reps that we've been able to see in practice, based on, you know, just what, you know, reports we've seen, from having him, you know, speak in the locker room, because injured guys don't normally speak to the media, which also includes Danny Amendola, who spoke to the media yesterday, by the way. But I would still say that Gronk is limited and will get a few snaps, but Amendola stays another week out. That's just a guess. By the way, the injury report is out for today. It's a little earlier than it normally is. It's out about 10 minutes early here. Patriots today did not participate, Matthew Slater and Sebastian Vollmer. So that's exactly the way it was yesterday. And then they have 3, 6, 9 limited participation players. Amendola, Arrington, Bolden, Cole, Ebner, Gronk, Mayo, Svitek, and Washington. Full participation from both Sudfeld and Wilfork, who were listed yesterday, but also were listed as full participation. For the Falcons, Steven Jackson did not participate, and they do not expect him to play on Sunday. Limited, Baker, the tackle, Julio Jones, Peter Kahns, Garrett Reynolds, and Roddy White. So both Jones and White, limited participation in practice. I think that's an upgrade for Jones, however, because for White, because I believe he was out. Yes, it is a change. He was out yesterday. He did not participate yesterday, and he was limited today. So that's a good sign for the Falcons. And then full participation from McClain, the corner, and Josh Vaughn, a running back. So that's the latest injury report just out off the presses here at Patriots HQ in Gillette Stadium. Flint says, 2 words, rookie redemption. Here's the chance for the Tompkins and Dobson to redeem themselves on a national stage. P.S. Edelman will be in sync with Tom. Brady will dust off his night game face. So he says Pats 24, Falcons 17. Brady's going to dust off his night game face, which he usually does. He does pretty well in night games, and that's actually a pretty good job of remembering that by Flint. Robin in Alaska says 17-14, Falcons. Patriots lose a nail-biter. Brady is on the field at the end, but the O just can't click. Sadly, I kind of tend to agree with that, Robin. My prediction, as we wrapped up hour one here today with Eric, my prediction is Falcons 24, Patriots 23. So I'm staying with the threes theme, and this would be 3 weeks out of four that they've scored 23 points. I think we'll still continue to see some improvement, especially by the Wookiees, but I also think that Atlanta just has too much on offense, and even though they're somewhat banged up, and I do think their offensive line is susceptible, so I think the Patriots should be able to pressure Matt Ryan. The fact that they're at home, it's their turf, it's their dome, and the fact that they're 21-3 under Mike Smith coming off of losses just tells me that these guys know how to correct a troubling situation in the regular season. And they're clearly playing to their backs, with their backs to the wall, more than the Patriots after the opening few weeks, because they're looking up at the Saints already 3-0 in their own division. I just think they play with a little more sense of urgency, and I think a 1-point game is pretty much the difference in this one. Now, it can easily sway on a couple of things. Number one, turnovers. Number two, field position. And number three, maybe the light bulb goes on, bing, on top of the head of an Aaron Dobson, and he holds on to a tough catch, or maybe Ken Brell breaks a tackle and gets into the end zone for a score. You know, he did that this last week in the last week's game. Yeah, he split the zone up the middle on Tampa, so and it's a sidestep a couple of tackers on that play. It really should not have been a 16-yard touchdown pass, but I mean he split the zone right up the middle. Maybe he does that again and gets loose. And maybe Gronk, if he does play, maybe he's able to make a difference. If not as a target, then as a decoy. See, this is stuff that we really won't know until we actually get closer to game time. Brian in Essex, Vermont. John, question in comparisons here. TB's O-line versus the Falcons' O-line. It's clear TB's O-line is above average. So it would lead me to believe that given a lesser O-line, this front seven could make life hell for the Falcons, correct? Sure. Absolutely. I think that's where this game might actually end up, deciding. The Patriots are going to have to force Matt Ryan into some mistakes. And as Russell Baxter told us, if the Falcons can get two or more turnovers, he thinks that the Patriots will win the game. But he doesn't think that will happen just because Matt Ryan's got the quick release. He thinks that their offensive line, while it could be shaky, rises to the occasion. And the matchup with the Patriots defensive backs with the Falcons receivers just, you know, in a perfect world is not a good one. Of course, it's not a good one for a lot of teams out there. But that's why the Falcons were thought of as a Super Bowl contender before the year started. The Patriots put up 156 yards on the ground, Brian says, against the highest-rated rush defense from last year. If the Falcons are having issues stopping the run, that doesn't bode well for them. Bingo. And I said in the opening hour of the program today, Brian, this is where the Patriots can win the game. If they commit to the run and they attack the middle of the Atlanta defense and keep the ball out of the Falcons' hands on offense. You know, let's play a little ball control here. You know, you can go no huddle, but you can also play that, you know, 4-minute offense that the Patriots like to use toward the end of games when they have the lead to chew up the clock. You can do that. And I perfectly expect the Patriots, if they get a lead in this one, that's exactly what they do. I expect that. Brian says, if Gronk plays, I think he will, just his presence on the field takes a dramatic amount of on-field pressure off of the receiving core. You know Gronk has to be doubled. And if Brady targets him a couple of times here and there, they can ease him back in slowly while still exploiting what his presence on the field means to other defenses. Couple that with the injured Falcons on D, the Patriots could very well have a great day on Sunday. I'm going to have faith with the improving defense and the addition of Gronk, Patriots 31, Falcons 17. Brian, I really like your reasoning. I think it's solid. I don't like your score, but I like your reasoning. In that instance, I would probably tend to say a little lower on the score and maybe go 21-17. But, okay. I think your reasoning is sound. Robin says, I think this is Robin in Alaska, 17-14 Falcons. Yep, he gave that one. Let's see. Eric. From his iPhone, says 23-20 Pats Falcons score the last touchdown but can't take the game. So he likes the Patriots with the lead. Falcons score late, onside kick, don't recover. Ah! And the Patriots hang on by three. Michael in Stockholm, Sweden, or Sweden, whichever you prefer. My prediction for the game is that Atlanta wins 21-17, but that is with my other prediction that Gronk doesn't play. If Gronk plays, I think he'd be a game changer, giving the Patriots a 24-21 win. Ah. See, now Michael's trying to play both sides of the fence here. And, you know, I love you, Michael, but we don't play the fence here. You got to pick a side, brother. Pick a side. So, 21-17, Atlanta, if Gronk doesn't play, but if Gronk plays, he says Patriots 24-21. I don't know. I think we have to disqualify this one, Kev. You know? Naturally, I think most of yeah, I was about to say, we got to give him a buzzer or a cannon or something just because, you know what happens when you sit on the fence about a pick? You get hammered from both sides. You got to pick a side so you can at least see where the arrows and the bullets are coming from. All things equal in talk radio and sports predictions, right? Alexander says, Patriots win 28-24. Is his score prediction. Drew in Bowie, Maryland. Pats 27-24. And he asked a question here. When was the last Pats win as an underdog? You know what? I wish I'd gotten to this email earlier, Drew. Thank you for sending it. I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to guess. You got to go back to last year. Wow. That's a good one. All right, you know what? I'll have to do some work on that, but unfortunately we're running out of time on the show. Ask the question again next week, and let's see if we can figure that out. Because it's liable, one way or the other, whether they win or lose, it's liable they'll be a road dog again next week at Cincinnati. So we could probably ask this question again next week. But, Drew, that's a good question. He says Pats 27-24. And then Jeff in Alberta gets one in here. He says, went with the Patriots winning 24-17 last week. I'm going to take that score again this week. I think the Patriots have the lead for most of the game, but at no point will we ever feel comfortable with it. So he says 24-17 Patriots this week. You know, I think that's just something that we're going to have to get used to be honest with you guys. no matter the win, no matter the opponent, no matter the game situation, I think you're going to have to realize that, you know what, it's just not going to be comfortable. And I think that's just a byproduct of having a team that's continuing to find itself on offense with the Wookiees involved. And I think it's also with a defense that's going to find stiffer tests on down the line. Kevin, I don't get one Wookiee this today. Not even one. Okay.
I was looking, you were busy. No, I was looking at the schedule. I don't think that it came last year and back to 2011 now.
So, oh, you're looking for underdog?
I was just kind of trying to comb through.
Were they won,
didn't win any last year.
As an underdog?
No.
Okay, zero. So then you got to go back at least to 11. I thought it had been a while. Well, that was actually a very good question. All right, Jose from Long Island is going to get the final prediction in here. He says New England 27, Atlanta 20. Tie score until the end. Our defense will make the last score. And then thank you, love the show. Thank you, Jose. Love your participation. I just got a couple of tweets in here. David says, I predict 35-24, Pats. Adam says, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going with Atlanta 24, New England 17. All right, so we've actually had about a half a dozen fans say Atlanta will win the game, which may be an all-time record for this show. Because when we do Prediction Thursdays, frankly, it's all Pats all the time. And I think we can all understand that, because it's a Patriots-related show. But I think realism is set in here. And I also think that, you know, even the most optimistic Patriots fan can realize that you're not going to win them all. You know, they didn't do that in 07, even though they won them all during the regular season. They still lost the big one that counted at the end. So pretty tough to get there. And this is a reasonable opportunity to stub your toe. I will tell you again that, as I said, 24-23 Atlanta, that it's all going to be predicated on mistakes. And if the Patriots defense, as Russell Baxter told us again, I'm going to hammer on this one more point. If the Patriots defense can force two or more turnovers, then I think Atlanta could be in trouble. And I think the Patriots will have the opportunity to win that game. And next Tuesday, we're not nitpicking a heck of a lot. We're talking about a win and stealing one that we thought would all be a loss. And that kind of puts you plus one in that category for the year. Because you always find one somewhere that you lose that you think you're going to win. This could be one. If the defense comes to play and forces the turnovers, this could be one of those that you thought you're going to lose that somehow you steal and you win on the road as a dog, which is tough to do. All right, our thanks, of course, to Eric Scalavino from Patriot Football Weekly. Our thanks to Jim Murray from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta for visiting with us here on the program as well today. Football guys, coming up next, you want to stay tuned for that right here on Patriots.com Radio. We're back same Pats time, same Pats channel next Tuesday. It'll be Nitpick Tuesday, but are we nitpicking a win or a loss? That's Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.